right
now. Is this thing on?
Yeah, man. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bee's Knees podcast. We are your host. My name is Trey Ferguson. I live in Miami, Florida, where I happen to be a Brooklyn Nets fan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at PastorTrey05. That's that.
Yeah. This is your boy, Marcus Williams. I'm here, Columbia, Missouri, home of the Mizzou Tigers. And I'm a Miami Heat fan, you know, enjoying this season quite a bit so far. You can find me at Sir Rant and Rave on Instagram, on Twitter. Check me out. Let's talk some trash.
Hi, I'm Dan Pierce. I'm a Chicago native living in O'Fallon, Missouri. I am a Chicago Bulls fan, and it's not going great, guys. It's been a rough one. So yeah, that's me. You could talk to me at Real Dan Pierce on Twitter, on Instagram. I don't have Cash App, so but I will accept checking orders. So if you got those, I appreciate
it. Okay, and this is Brian Hubbard. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm a Miami Heat fan, as Marcus said. No complaints so far this season. And yeah, we are back. It's been a while.
It's been quite a while. I think the last time we were on here, the Nets were still in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were actually still the New Jersey Americans.
Yeah.
The last time we were all together, the Bulls were still a dark horse playoff contender.
They're only three games out of the eighth seed. That only speaks to how weak the East actually is at the bottom.
In fairness, both conferences are hella weak at the bottom. Like, I know that the narrative has always been that the East is weak, and usually they are, but we were talking about before this started how weak it is at the bottom of the West as well. Because, I mean, right now, the eighth place San Antonio Spurs are also under 500. So the West is not very good at the bottom either, I should just say, in defense of the East.
Remember when we told everybody at the beginning of this season, don't trust Phoenix, don't trust Minnesota, none of these teams that are off to a hot start are going to keep it up? Nobody go back and listen to that episode or anything right now, but that's what we said, and it's proven to be true. Those hot starts did not last.
Aren't we so good at being right?
Absolutely.
No, I mean, look, those teams are what? Phoenix is just, what, a game and a half out of eighth, something like that? Two games? Minnesota's a little deeper down. I think we can safely say Minnesota's not getting in, but I don't know, man.
Which is wild.
I don't know. Phoenix is just feisty enough where I still think they can do it.
You know what? I'm going to start us off today by saying something I don't think I've ever said in the history of the Bee's Knees podcast. Not in season one, not in season two, which has been beesier and kneesier thus far. But I'm gonna get this off my chest because, you know, I'm a humble guy and I'm willing to admit when I've been wrong. But hey, Dan was right, like on a couple of things. I don't know if we got this on the record or not. I think it was probably mostly Twitter conversations. But twice Dan said something, and as I am wont to do, I waved it off because Dan says lots of things, most of which should be waved off.
But 4-1 start for the Bulls. 4-1 start. That's what I was told.
That is true, and he was definitely very wrong about that. Let's not overreact.
I was incorrect. I was very incorrect.
Yes.
Just reverse the numbers, I think, if I remember right.
But I know in the past couple of weeks, like you tried to catch my attention about a Dante Exum and Jordan Clarkson trade, which I still don't care about, by the way. I absolutely don't care about it. But
get me wrong.
Yeah, it ended up being a good basketball move for one of those teams. The Utah Jazz are 7-0 since that trade, so yay them, I suppose. And then also, he spoke about Kyrie Irving and saying that he should probably shut it down for the season. And I was like, who cares? Like, nobody's watching the Nets anymore, including I'm a Nets fan. And I've literally not watched them in at least 3 weeks. You know what? There's news today coming out about like Kyrie coming back to play. And in my mind, I'm like, why are we doing this? That doesn't make any sense. So, Danby, you know what? You were right. And I was wrong. And I promise I will add at least 15 seconds before I disregard the things that you say in the future.
That is
giving them a little buffer zone.
That's very sweet, Trey. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Also, Dan was right in that the Memphis Grizzlies are a tiny bit fun. Who saw that coming besides Dan? Yes. So, Dan, take your victory lap by talking about the Bulls.
I can't take a victory lap that much. All of us were pretty much like, guys, Zion and the Pelicans are going to be great this year. And they have not been great. They just
not,
haven't.
That's not fair.
Who is he hasn't who played is this? Yet.
The last episode I was also on, we also discussed the pot. Like, there was a whole argument about whether or not Klay Thompson would ever make it back this season. That was also a thing that
reading us our rights. Okay, Dan.
I'm just adding to my victory lap for a hot second.
I was actually Team Danby on that one.
Yeah, no.
Well, I didn't realize they were going to take a gap year and Steph was going to get hurt and everything too. You know, like
I understand.
Things happened. Things happened.
We're like, it's not worth it. It's just
things
not.
Escalated quickly. Brick killed a guy, okay?
All right. But needless to say, I very much appreciate it. But that it I mean, we talk basketball. It's what we do. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. It's part of the role.
Dan, I got one more for you, actually, since really? We're getting all this out right now. You know, okay. So then we can just ridicule you for the rest of the season on here. You said once it came true that, you know, Jimmy signed with the Heat, like I said he was going to, you were quick to say that Jimmy was going to become one of our favorite players ever immediately. And I was like, you know, I was like, I could see it, but that's a very strong take. Let's see how it goes. And you were 100% correct about that. I love Jimmy Butler. One of my favorite Heat players ever already.
I very much appreciate that. I actually, among Bulls fans, I would consider myself in like maybe a 35% minority of Bulls fans who genuinely miss Jimmy and loved every second he was with us.
That doesn't surprise me knowing other Bulls fans.
Well, I'm just saying there's so much depression around Bulls fans about like, what if Derek doesn't get hurt? That they sort of forget about Jimmy. And it's always boggled my mind because even when Derek was hurt, Jimmy carried them enough and had enough swagger and leadership and abilities on the court to really, really make a difference. Not, you know, obviously with the results of what was going on, but make a difference in like my eyes. From what I was seeing on the basketball court, it's a great fit in Miami. I'm very happy for you guys. I miss him so much.
Yeah, it's just a shame for Bulls fans that the Godfather sent Wade on a undercover mission up there to Chicago to start talking in his ear. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Start preaching that Heat culture up there.
Hey. Who was he supposed to grab on the way back from Cleveland?
Yeah. Well, you know, things happen.
Hey, man.
Jarrett Smith.
It was more of a layover, I think. It's
yeah,
not
yeah, yeah. His plane got grounded for a couple months.
Yeah.
LeBron compared it to being in the same class as your best friend on the first day of school. I do remember that. That was something. But
the entire NBA fan base of any team has agreed to decide that Dwayne Wade never played for the Cavs. Yeah. So,
that's fine, but I still claim him as a Bull. That was.
We're not doing this again. Let's move on.
I'm just saying.
We're Bulls sitting here giving you your victories, Dan. Don't push it too hard.
But you know what? We did want to start. We did want to start with all of us just doing a quick recap of, or a quick checking in with our squad. So, Dan, let's go ahead and start with you. I mean, What do you got to say about the Bulls? Where are they relative to your expectations to where you want them to be? How close are they to that?
They are below them. They are. What? Do you know that movie that I think just came out called Underwater? That's sort of been how it's felt to be a Bulls fan this season. Like about a month ago, I was watching a game and my mother-in-law was over and we were just watching the game and they were losing to the Hornets and they were at home and I'm watching this game and I'm like, they should be ahead. Like everything is clicking. Zach's playing great. Kobe's hitting some good shots. What is happening? And then I realized they're missing someone who could sort of tie it all together and be a leader out there. As great of a scorer as Zach is, he can't be a leader on the court. He can't. And he could still be an all-star this season. He's very close in the voting. And the numbers sort of support the argument just in terms of averaging 23.9 points per game, 4 assists, 4.6 rebounds. It's nearly 40% from three.
Am I the only person here who feels like the Bulls have far exceeded their expectations for this season?
No, they haven't exceeded them.
At the same time, the bottom of the East is so bad, they're only 3 games out.
Yeah, I think they're right around where I thought they'd be. Huh?
They're absolutely where we expected them to be. Right. But I think most of Chicago, and I mean, Dan's not wrong in that a lot of the NBA watching media was expecting them to be a lot more competitive this year than they have been. And I mean, I don't fault Dan for that, but I mean, he's absolutely right in that they just don't really have like any sort of galvanizing presence on that team. I mean, I guess one could say it's Jim Boylan and they're all galvanized in the sense that they hate him. But
change is reportedly coming as of a report today. NBC Sports Chicago's David Kaplan was reporting on rumors that he had heard from the team that large-scale change is occurring. And given the unhappiness that owner Jerry Reinsdorf has expressed regarding the front office, I need heads to roll. I need Gar Foreman and John Paxson and Jim Boylan all with just pink slips.
Should have been gone a long time ago. That's what we've been saying.
Jim Boylan shouldn't have been hired as the head coach.
Yeah,
Jim Boylan shouldn't have been hired as the head coach, but Jim Boylan is a symptom of a much larger problem. Right. John Paxson has been in the front office of the Chicago Bulls since 2003. Do you know how much of the NBA has changed since 2003? Because John Paxson doesn't.
I can hear the blood boiling in him.
Go ahead, Dan.
I'm serious. Do you know how embarrassing it was? It had to have been 8 months ago. I'm listening to Simmons and he's talking about being on the same plane as Gar Foreman, and Gar, it was like during the trade deadline and they had a lot of pieces that they could have sold or something, and Gar is just in a deep sleep. He's sleeping. We are a laughing stock. Our front office refuses to adapt to the current NBA, and it is costing us.
I fall asleep on planes all the time. Do you want me to get fired,
right,
Dan?
Right.
Humans sleep
during
on
the
planes.
Trade deadline, though. Like this.
If it's taking off, I'm falling off. That's how we go, man. You know what? I conditioned myself in college, flying back from exams. I was tired. I fell asleep on planes. You do what you do. Are you upset? Do you want all college graduates to get fired from their jobs because they fall asleep on planes, Dan?
No, but if you're on a deadline, you work.
I mean, I get what you're saying, Dan. Like,
that man slept easy. He knew he knew he had job security. He wasn't worried.
Exactly.
He's like, I am resting easy. Let me show you how easy it is to fall asleep during the trade deadline, Dan.
I'm also going to throw this out here. Jerry's son, Michael, is very ineffective as the team president.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's very ineffective. I venture to say that he needs to step up and run the team, because we have gotten to the point within the last 3 years, because Bulls, even when we were bad post Jordan and kind of skating into a better place with the Baby Bulls in the mid 2000s, we were still leading the league in attendance. Every game sold out, regardless of the product on the court. That was the staying power of the Dynasty 90s Bulls. That was the staying power of Michael Jordan. Now, with the current team, we don't have that to skate on anymore to put butts in the United Center. We just don't. And so it falls on the players, the team, the front office, the coaching staff, the training staff, because at this point, we have two starters out based on injuries. Otto Porter has barely played this season. Wendell Carter Jr. is going to miss weeks with a sprained ankle that he suffered against the Pelicans. Or I'm sorry, that he suffered.
Is there such thing as too much Bulls talk?
I'm about to wrap it up. Don't worry. It's just this season has been a frustrating reminder of how wrong the Bulls front office mindset is, how wrong it was to hire Jim Boylan, how wrong it is to place the trust of the team in people that fail to see the league that they're in. That's all I have to say.
He is fired up.
Hey, you big man, bro. I understand. Feel it. I don't know. I don't have much of a rundown to give on the Nets. Last time we recorded a podcast, they were not in a very good spot. Since then, we're just kind of airing our business out there, how long it's been. But since then, they've gone on a 7-game win streak and a 7-game losing streak.
Consistent.
Yeah.
They'd be fine.
Yeah, there you go, man. But at the same token, I anticipated them being a top 4 or 5 seed this season. It doesn't look like that's going to end up being the case. I'm not too upset about it, though. There's two injuries that we didn't see coming. We obviously knew Kevin Durant wasn't going to play this season. Kyrie Irving's missed like 25 games. Caris LeVert's missed close to 30 games. Those are the Nets' two best players this season, outside of Kevin Durant, obviously, that we've been without. Spencer Dinwiddie was playing at an all-star level for a great stretch of time, as a matter of fact, about a month or so. That seems to have tapered off. Some of the things are breaking down. And the bottom line is that the Nets don't really have the horses. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie cannot carry a team. If he could have, it's something that we would have recognized long ago. But it is what it is, man. Like, we might still sneak into the playoffs this season. We're not going to do any damage, but I think all along we've been looking towards next season, and that's probably when I'll start watching the Nets play basketball again.
Yeah. Now, what's the injury with LeVert? Like, is he out for the season or just indefinitely?
He'll be back. He's actually taken a bit longer because I think he had like a ligament damage in his hand. He actually had to have it operated on. So he's already exceeded the time frame they originally gave. He's been working his way back. Originally, they weren't sure who was going to make it back first between him and Kyrie. It looked like him. Then it looked like Kyrie. Then it looked like him again. Now it looks like Kyrie is going to be back a little bit soon. But they're expecting Caris LeVert back within the next few weeks, probably.
He's been out for how long?
Since probably about a week or two before Kyrie went down. So,
and he had ligament damage in his hand, which is what Joel Embiid has right now. And they're saying that's a 1 to 2 week injury. So you're telling me Joel might be out a little bit longer.
Well, did Joel have surgery?
I think they said he's going to, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're looking at it. And I thought they said they were just going to reevaluate him in a week.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was indefinitely. Like, they hadn't set the timetable quite yet.
Who could have seen that coming for Philly, you know?
Oh, yeah, that Philly training staff. Just consistent.
Yeah.
Who could have
foreseen this?
Yeah. I feel like that could really become a tangent for us.
So Markelle Fultz. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, man. Markelle Fultz has been good this year.
He should have traded Simmons instead of Fultz.
I am happy that I never lost faith with the young boy. And hopefully, I mean, not against Miami, which Orlando always seems to do, but hopefully he can continue to be successful because, I mean, the kid's good. He's got some skill. He's still not a great shooter, but at least he's a willing shooter, which is more than we could say for that other guy.
That they should have traded instead, yeah.
I don't think we should overlook the fact that, you know, they got the Lil B base guy curse. Like, if he curses a team, they're just not going to win anything.
Did they really?
No. Right. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that exists. Like, the Lil B base guy curse. Like, it exists.
Wait, no, I'm saying, did he curse them?
No.
I was going to say, that explains so much.
I believe that J. Cole has the opposite effect because he prayed for Markel because they effed up his shot. And now his shot hasn't been fixed. But he is an NBA player.
Excited there for a minute thinking that he cursed them. No, I was like, this is such a great explanation of everything.
I'm just saying that there's going to be a lot of NBA players sending prayer requests to J. Cole.
I see.
Markel has shown enough with his shot that you could believe that, like, at some point it's going to become average, I think. Like, I think we've seen enough to see that... I mean, there's a path to him becoming an average shooter. Someday.
He was a good shooter in college. That's the thing. Exactly. Like, and there's an article out about him today on Sports Illustrated where they're talking about it. You know, like just figuring out what the injury was and like having that knowledge instead of it just being unknown. Like he was talking about how much that meant to him and how much, you know, it helped him in the recovery and everything. Like, I think he can be a good shooter. Like your numbers in college shooting generally can translate, especially like free throw shooting, branching out. But like he was a good shooter in college. So as he keeps, you know, playing, gets more comfortable and everything, I think he can become even a good shooter, not just like an average or, you know, respectable one.
Not only that, but I mean, he has had since at least January 1st, he has had a breakout game. The game against the Nets on the 6th where he had 25 and went 11 for 20 from field goal.
Oh, shut up.
I'm just saying, with 20 shot attempts and 5-3 attempts, it's not like he's not shooting the ball like he used to. That's like the big thing where he's not in his head anymore. He doesn't have the pressure that he once did. He can now just relax and just shoot.
Right.
And now that's
a big thing for him, and not just him, but Orlando, who has been looking for a point guard since Jameer Nelson.
Jameer Nelson.
You know, they've been looking for a point guard for so long, and for so long they've just had all these. This is just glut of wing players who are like kind of power forwards, but kind of small forwards. And like now you have an actual point guard and that unlocks so much about what the rest of that team can do. I mean, it still makes no sense that they signed Al-Farouq Aminu. But, you know,
he's out.
Yeah. They're getting a redo on that one. They're getting,
he got hurt. And not they only that, but Jonathan Isaac's out for the season.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they just applied for an injury exception for him, too, which means he's...
My rule of thumb is that if you can sign Al-Farouq Aminu, you do it just because his name means the chief has arrived. And if you can sign a dude... You
don't want to miss that opportunity.
Exactly.
But also, if they're missing all these guys, then that means maybe they do need to sign another wing. And you know who might be available? Travis Outlaw. Drink!
I think you're about to say Dion Waiters.
He's available too. They got like a couple of old basketballs they want to trade us or something.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, Trey, do you have anything else to say about the Brooklyn Nets?
I do not.
Okay. Now here comes the part of the show that...
Rest in peace, cocky Nets fan.
Yeah, I was going to say...
it was a fun one.
I am not dead. I am merely a slumbered.
That's okay.
I'm not
asleep.
I'm strategizing with my eyes closed.
Yeah, it's fine.
Snorlax has gone back to sleep.
It's funny because they were playing really well when they had Shumpert too. Like, what? They shouldn't have let him go. But anyway, we're off the net.
They shouldn't have. And guess what? Now we're cursed because they let him go because he wasn't shooting the ball well. And then David Nwaba actually was playing well and shooting well. And then he tore his Achilles, and now they waived him too.
Mm.
clearly Trey does have more to say about the Nets.
I'm sorry.
He's just holding it all inside.
But I had no idea that Timothy Luau Cabarro was actually a serviceable NBA player.
That is a roller coaster of a name.
Isn't it?
Well, he was kind of like the Matisse Thybulle before Thybulle was, or at least that was what they expected out of him. So it's not shocking that he's become an NBA player, because that's kind of what the book was on him before he got to the NBA.
Yeah, he played really good defense against Luka when they played Dallas a couple weeks ago, and then Luka still went off for like 30 and 10. But that's what was impressive about him in that game, because I'm looking at Luau, that guy, and it's just like he's playing him really well. Like he's you know, he's up in his face. He's playing good defense. He just, you know, Luka's special.
Luka is something else, man. But we're not here to talk about the Mavericks. We're talking about it's time. It's time, guys.
Are we here? We resurrecting the Heat Index?
Okay. Before we get onto this role here, I want to actually say that I'm still not crazy about Jimmy Butler as a player, but I do recognize that Miami needed a guy like him. They needed that attitude. They needed that edge. And they needed a guy who could kind of moonlight as a 1A kind of guy, you know, on most nights. So I recognize his worth to them. I don't know that he'll ever be my favorite Heat player.
Doesn't matter. All part of the plan. Giannis.
Not as long as Tyler Hero's on the roster.
That's right.
It's
fascinating watching the national writers throw him into every trade scenario they always bring up for the Heat, because Tyler's not going anywhere.
I love Tyler Hero.
There's almost nobody they would trade him for.
Like did you guys see the latest Tyler Hero thing on the internet?
He's a bucket.
Where he's signing buckets now?
He's a bucket. Tyler's a bucket. Jimmy's been saying it since this summer. He said Tyler's a bucket. He wasn't lying.
Yeah. There is zero chance whatsoever that Miami trades Tyler Hero.
Yeah. I mean, it's insulting that
anybody would even suggest it.
If there had been any inkling of that in their brains in the front office before that last Philly game, it's gone. Because when they got that steal from Embiid with like, what was it, like 10 seconds left in regulation, down two, Tyler picks up the loose ball, dribbles into, like starts to drive the lane, and then's like, nope, I'm a step back, take this three-pointer, nail it, and we'll be up one. The kid's 19. He's 19 years old. And he had the balls to take that shot right there, to step back, not try to give the ball up to Jimmy, not try to give it to Goran, anybody like that. Like, Tyler was like, nah, this is me. I got it.
And he hit it. And he wasn't, it's not even like he'd played that great before that. Like,
he's
playing okay, but.
He just comes alive in the fourth. And, like, as a 19-year-old guard in the NBA, like, that's all I need right now. I'm like, I don't need you to be a star yet. You'll get there eventually. You got time, but. Man, just seeing somebody with that attitude, like, yeah, I want that shot. Give it to me.
Yeah. The kid is not afraid of anything.
No.
Love it about him.
Not at all. I mean, we should have known from his suit on draft night, but still.
True. Now, I will say, I don't know that I think me and you both said that we thought the Heat third seed in the East, things broke right. Now I'm saying I don't know that I'm satisfied with the three seed.
Well, here's the problem I was pointing out last night. See, I do. Like, I honestly do, because we have not had a full squad until, like, last night. Justice hasn't played since forever because of his back and the concussion. They haven't even seen what the full squad looks like, and it's going to take a little while because, Justice has still got to find his spot now because the team's kind of, you know, gotten to a rhythm with the 8-man rotation they were running, but everybody was exhausted. So, like, we started dropping those games against, like, Washington or whatnot, where they're just not quite as focused because it's not a top team. And we started losing games we weren't losing earlier in the season because nobody had any legs, you know? But I think the two seed is very much in play. The thing I was pointing out that scares me last night is Orlando is sitting in that 7 seed. And, that is terrifying.
Orlando's the worst. They're just a bad matchup for Miami and haven't been 6 years.
But it's been a different roster every time except for Vucevic, who we turned into prime Hakeem, you know? Like, I don't get it. But, yeah, I think two-seed or bust, honestly, and that keeps us out of Milwaukee's bracket for the second round. You know, let those 3-6 seeds fight it out and, you know, As long as Orlando can find a different spot, I'm good with it.
And it means that we also get Boston and or Philly coming into Miami for the second.
Right.
So, exactly. Take that.
Or Toronto. Or Indy. Indy's right there, and they still don't have Oladipo back either. So
I'd rather it be Toronto, honestly. I don't think they match up that well with Miami. But anyway, yeah, so it's been fun being a Heat fan this season. I mean, 27-10, third best record in the league.
Gordon looks like an all-star again coming off the bench.
That's right.
Like, he's been in so many trade scenarios and actually was traded at one point until Mark Cuban realized he, you know, had the wrong guy. And I'm thankful that he did that because we have needed him this season when he's been in there.
Absolutely.
But, like, he looks so re-energized, you know, playing it with that second unit. And it's fun. Like, I love that guy.
Yeah, man. Gorn has been everything we needed him to be.
And while we're doing this Heat victory lap, let's talk about Bam. Because you and I have been pointing it out the whole time that it's got the tools. It's going to come.
All
he needs is a little jumper, you know, get some threes to start going. Sky is the limit. Bam is ridiculous.
Hey, other guys, feel free to talk about how good Miami is, too.
I think they went out for lunch break or something.
Yeah. Oh, don't you dare. Don't you use them.
I really liked Nets game on the first season there. Of S Club 7 that took place in Miami.
I love that show too. But
I live in Miami.
Nice.
So. Homestead, Miami is a good track.
I don't know what that means.
It's okay.
Are you talking NASCAR on my good Christian basketball podcast?
I'm 100%.
He's also spreading lies because it's not a good track.
So what would you consider a good track to be, Trey?
One that doesn't mess up the traffic in my neighborhood. How about that? All of the other ones are good tracks. This track sucks.
Even Richmond? Richmond messed up
this
is far too much.
You leave my hometown out of this.
I enjoy Richmond. I enjoy Miami. What I don't enjoy is New Hampshire.
All right, that's enough. This is not even a real state. You're making things up now.
Loudoun, New Hampshire hosts New Hampshire Speed or International Speedway.
Is that a salad? A Loudoun, New Hampshire salad?
Remember when we were praising Danby earlier in this episode? Much fun. Better days.
Shifting gears like all the way. Y'all remember back when we were talking about like the Lakers at the beginning of the season and we were like, I don't really know. And Trey was like, I don't know. I think they could be pretty good. And y'all
Whoa.
Yeah. Shifting gears.
Pretty sure I'm the only guy that picked them for the finals amongst us. If you're going to take this credit, you better drag me along with you there. Because Lakers and Bucks in the finals.
When Brian and I, the only two sensible people on this podcast.
Okay, first of all, nobody here said the Lakers weren't going to be good. We all knew they would. But they still need to show something that they can do this when Bron or AD get hurt, because it's going to happen. It is going to happen.
AD's already hurt.
Exactly. And that's what we see with the Lakers are made of. Now, that being said, it seems like the Clippers don't care about the regular season, so they might not get caught by the Clippers. But Denver has turned it on. Denver was my pick for, I think I chose Denver to finish top in the West. And so I think they're 4.5 back of the Lakers now. I don't know that they're going to catch them, but Denver is finally looking like the team that I thought they were going to be. And so, look, the Lakers are good. Let's just see what they got. Let's see what they got when they get hurt, because it's going to happen, and I'm going to be there. Are we really going to depend on injuries on people here?
I know.
Terrible luck right there.
I didn't know you any better, I'd think you were a hater, because you sound like a hater.
Right. I'm saying Father Time is undefeated. And Anthony Davis, he has a history of minor nagging injuries kind of just bugging him throughout the season. I mean, like Dan said, we're already seeing that this year.
Yeah, LeBron, he's got a butt bruise.
Hey, we've all been there. We've all had the butt bruise.
Dwight Howard has too.
Yes, Dwight Howard has a butt bruise. And can I just say, the Lakers do not necessarily have the depth in the forward positions to really be withstanding Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee possibly going down later in the year should Father Time remain undefeated.
I will say, I think we're all shocked that they've gotten good Dwight Howard and good JaVale McGee this far into the season. I think that is, I don't know that any of us saw that coming. Not both of them being pretty good for them anyway.
I thought one of them would work out. I can't say I would have known which one, but
right.
I think I would have guessed a one like, for two thought, at least, you know.
I thought it would be more of an alternating thing, like JaVale would be good for three games and Dwight for three games or whatever. But no, they've both been pretty good for them. I mean, he's not going to play in the All-Star game, but I mean, Alex Caruso has been good.
Wow.
He's like sixth in the Western Conference voting for guards right now, which tells you exactly what you need to know about how broken this All-Star voting system is.
And who knows? They're definitely trying to deal Kyle Kuzma. Can we just say that?
I would.
They should have done that all along.
Right. I would.
That's the guy they shouldn't have kept.
You got to cash in now on him.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's pretty clear that he does not fit next to Bron and AD. But yeah,
well, he's also talking behind Bron's back.
He's not that good.
He's not that good. He's solid, but I don't think he's what they think he is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would have much rather, if I'm them, I think I'm holding on to Ingram or Ball over Kyle Kuzma.
I think I would have kept Hart over Kuzma, man.
Yeah, Kyle Kuzma's not a good fit for them, and they're probably, like Brian says, they kind of need to see what they can get out of him right now, maximize that value out of with him. You know
how I know Kyle Kuzma is not that good? Because he was actually picked with a Nets pick. And the only good player who's ever been picked with a Nets pick is Damian Lillard.
And that's a deep cut.
That is a deep cut. I disagree with the assessment, but that is a deep cut. Because Markelle Fultz is still, the jury's still out.
Yeah, but that was
that was not a Nets pick.
Yeah,
technically, he had to wear, there was the whole hat situation. I don't know.
That wasn't for the Nets, though.
But that was for Boston using the Nets pick, and then they swapped it with Jason Tatum.
Oh, right.
That's true. Okay. So, but back to Kyle Kuzma, there was rumors, and the Kings have sort of squashed all of them, that it was going to be Kuzma for, Bogdanovich.
Which one?
Bogdan.
Which one?
Yeah.
No, one of them is Boyan, the other one's Bogdan.
Is it?
Okay. Bogdan. Yeah.
Kings have Bogdan.
Do they spell them the same?
It's in Sacramento, not the one in Utah.
Spelled differently.
Yeah, they're spelled differently. Bogdan Bogdanovich is the same. Like his name is Bogdan Bogdanovich, and the other one is spelled B-O-J.
Boyan.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you for clearing that up.
Bogdan Boyan.
Yeah, when that rumor started kicking around, people that follow the Kings were like, so what else are we getting back from L.A.? Because that's not enough for Bogdan.
No, absolutely not. I would not do that deal if that was just straight up.
Are both of the Bogdanoviches good?
Both of the Bogdanoviches
are both better than Kyle Kuzma.
Yes. Oh, wow. Which is more important. They're both.
They are both better than Kyle Kuzma.
Yes.
But to hear Lakers Twitter tell it, Sacramento would need to give up Bogdan and a first and maybe something else.
And a three-way deal from Utah so we can unite the Bogdanoviches.
Yeah.
The Bogdanovich eye. The Bogdanovich.
Yeah, there you go. Bogdanoviches.
Yeah. So Lakers Twitter doesn't exactly have a great grasp on reality.
Or math.
Wait. Maybe Bulls Twitter should shut this one out for a minute.
No. Bulls Twitter is fine on math and reality.
Nope.
They just keep running out of liquor.
So far into its deep, deep depression, subterranean depression, that
deepest, bluest.
As long as we can all agree that there is no more delusional, there's nothing delusionaler than Nick's Twitter.
Yes.
Our apologies to Kofi.
They haven't contracted that team yet. Sorry, Kofi.
I was going to say, they announced today that they're not trading Marcus Morris.
Oh, good, because that was keeping me up at night.
They shouldn't trade Marcus Morris. They should make him live out his sentence out there after that nonsense they pulled with the Spurs.
That is very true. He should be a Spur. Even though
quietly, Marcus Morris has now somehow become their number one option. Related note, they are awful. So
yeah, he's absolutely their best player.
Did you?
I mean, he's leading in scoring. I think he's their number one option.
Did you guys see the most recent play when they were playing the Lakers and KCP went up for just like a layup or something? And Bobby Portis went and just swiped him and hit him in the head.
Yeah, he slapped him.
Yeah, he closed on him.
Slapped him. Yeah. And we were talking earlier about Rick James, but went to the five finger set in the face.
Ooh. It was pretty violent. It was an accident, I guess. But
yeah, okay.
I will say, before we get to clowning the Knicks too bad, they have been shockingly almost average since Miller became their head. I mean, they've just been a little below average since. Which for the Knicks is a great move for, right? No?
Yeah, David Fizdale money looking kind of funny in the light right now.
Yeah, I kind of wish that was man. the other Mike Miller that was coaching them, so we could at least take credit there, you know. But yeah, Fizz, I mean, maybe he's just better as an assistant coach. Who knows? You know, take that for data. Not that it's fair. New York is fair situation for anyone. Oh, any absolutely. Mike Miller, any not Jim Boylan, any David Fizdale.
For a while there, I was under the belief that he had maintained two jobs in really bad faith. Like the Grizzly job, he was sort of set up to fail pretty much. And I mean, Knicks, it's even worse. But then toward the end, it sort of seemed like he was just doing dumb things. Like,
yeah,
there were some lineups there that are just.
I think both are true. Like, yeah, you're right about. Go ahead, Trey.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you can usually tell when a job is not desirable or like a bad situation when they hire a black dude. It's typically when they start hiring black dudes is when jobs are crappy situations. At the same token, like, yeah, he's done some pretty dumb stuff. Like, oh, bro, I can't, like, really root for you because that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, the lineups he was playing, he was absolutely hamstrung by that, which had to have been they just picked names out of a hat.
That was a very smart strategy. What is the strongest position on the floor? The power forward. So let's get a bunch of them.
Yeah, true. Unfortunately, not in the 2019 NBA, especially since they're not even like power forwards like Kevin Durant's a power forward.
You know what? I bet they could out bench press the rest of the starters on every other team.
Sure. If you sign a bunch of Charles Oakley type of power forwards in 2019 NBA, you are going to have a record similar to the Knicks have.
If they sign Charles Oakley right now, he might be the best player on the roster still.
Yes,
he's 100%. Playing in the big three as far as I'm aware, so he still might be the best player on that team.
Oh, that is
and he'd have the most personality because
slap the hell out of whoever it was that Portis slapped.
Oh yeah, KCP, 100%.
Yeah, it would have hurt a lot more too. Oak doesn't play.
Oak was fun. Another Atlantic Division team that is we sort of touched on, but we never really dive deeper. And a lot of our predictions are resting on them is the Philadelphia 76ers.
Ah, we're here.
We would need to do a whole pod just for them. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's start with you, Trey. Go ahead, you go first.
You was already ramping up, bro. You already had the wheels greased. You go ahead, bro.
Okay. Keep rolling. That team is mostly a mess, right? Still think because they were built to play in the playoffs, I still don't know that I would want to see them there, but it is tough to see how this ends any way other than Ben Simmons being traded. And he has not been that. On defense, he's really, really good. The fact that he still will not shoot the ball, it's past count at this point.
They paid Tony Allen $180 million is what they did.
Exactly. And even Tony Allen would pick
you.
One thing that upsets me about this is all offseason, all we saw were videos of Ben Simmons in open gym. People talking about, oh, Simmons can shoot now. Watch out for him. And I don't want to see any other video of an NBA player in an open gym doing anything, because that means absolutely zero to us. We need to see it in the game, sir.
I thought we learned from Hoodie Mello, though. Did we not learn from Hoodie Mello?
I thought so too.
People were getting surprised by Ben Simmons shooting threes this summer. I'm like, who cares? Like, Dwight Howard can hit like 20 threes in a row in an open gym. Like, I think it was Dragonfly Jones the other day on Twitter was talking about this. Like, any of these players, they're that talented, but they're in the NBA, and they're not going to shoot that in the games like they will in the gym. Like, you could take the worst shooter in the NBA and go put them in an open gym and sit there and watch them shoot and make, like, 20 threes in a row.
Yeah, tell that to Devin Booker.
Around this time, last year, maybe a year and a half ago, I was having a discussion back when there was still, like, a race between Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell about Rookie of the Year and everything. And we were talking about the three best players in that draft, Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell. Well, that's not the same draft, but they came in within a couple years of each other. They all had the same rookie year. And the question was, which player you would rather build your team around? And I remember nobody on this podcast, but there were a few people who were adamant that Ben Simmons was the obvious answer. And I would like them to run me my change, because y'all look stupid. This man already got max money and still won't shoot the ball, and now he has no reason to shoot the ball because he already got his money. Like, if I'm Ben Simmons, why would I shoot? I don't need to win. Y'all not paying me to win. Y'all paying me to be tall. And I owe Michael Carter Williams and Rajon Rondo apologies, because we've called them Grande. Rajon Rondo, we've called him tall or deluxe Michael Carter Williams, except all of these players will shoot the ball. If you,
I owe Rubio an apology as well. I've called him tall Aussie Rubio.
I owe DJ Augustine an apology.
I've never seen anything like this.
His stats are declining, just like Michael Carter Williams did as well. Just, you know, low key.
I hate having to do this because I hate Philly team. Simmons still offers a little bit more versatility wise than those guys did, just because he's a 6'10 point guard. And at the end of the day, you can
He's not a point guard. He's a power forward. They have handling the ball.
Right.
He's not a point guard.
Right. You get what I'm saying, though. Like, you could play him at point guard and get away with it.
But you
can play him and on defense. You can have him guard four or five positions. And you couldn't do that with Michael Carter Williams or Rajon Rondo.
Because they're actually
still offer some value.
You can get some stretches out of him at point guard, but you can't put him on the same floor as Joel Embiid and Al Horford as a starter at point guard. That's the problem.
Agreed.
No doubt. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I would agree with you guys in that it is far past time for him to develop on offense enough. Well, I mean, he'll never be a perfect fit with Embiid, but he's got to be better than what he is right now. Well past that time.
I'm not here to say that Ben Simmons is bad at basketball, but what we're saying is they're paying this dude to be a super. He is getting superstar money.
Yes.
He is being paid
from, like, just people in general. They act like, you know.
Right.
Like he's accomplished anything in the playoffs. Like, his stats back up all of these accolades. Nothing. He's gotten the money. He's gotten accolades and endorsements and all of this. But what has he proven?
Proven he can't shoot.
No argument here.
Exactly. And now we have Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris. What?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, now we got Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson, and they're supposed to be the shooters on Philly. They're supposed to be the ones that you rely on to make a shot. And as you can tell from my esteemed co-host, Brian, I'm assuming is doing the snort. No, that's Trey.
No, it's not.
It's me.
It is Brian. Okay, good. This is not the position that you want to be in. And I remember before the season when we were making these picks, because I had not anticipated that we were going to do championship picks, and I kind of panicked. I regret so much picking them, but for whatever reason, Marcus put so much doubt in Milwaukee in me last year that I felt like I couldn't pick Milwaukee. And no one else made sense, and I couldn't pick two West teams because that's not how the NBA works.
Y'all really not looked yet. At a 25-year-old MVP player, and we're like, oh, he's not going to get any better. They're going to get worse.
Oh, we're so dumb. We are a bunch of dumb men.
No, okay. Now, see, now,
here we go.
Did you speak French? Who is this we you speak of?
Here we go. He's cranking up the defending Philly machine.
Be like... No, I don't want to defend Philly, but I mean, Milwaukee hasn't shown us anything to tell us.
They have the best record in the league, Marcus.
Yeah, but that's or that different Milwaukee team.
Oh, you lucky. Marcus, your internet connection is saving you, bro. I didn't hear anything you just said, and it's probably for the best.
Okay. Can you repeat that?
Is it
or not?
Is it just me, or did Milwaukee also have the best record last season?
Okay.
That is fair. Okay. That is fair.
So my point is, we cannot just point to that. Milwaukee is a fantastic regular season team. That means nothing to me. And I'm not saying that they can't get there, but I don't think it's crazy. They might not be there this year either. It'd be one thing if we watched them slaughter everyone, and then they have just been to the final at least once. But they haven't done it. They have to show me. A lot of teams get close and never get over their hump.
Here's what I would say to that, though, Marcus. I might argue that their path has gotten easier.
Number one, yeah.
Maybe.
Kawhi left the East.
But we don't know yet.
LeBron's no longer in the East. And they have a 25-year-old freak of an MVP player who, when you guys looked at Milwaukee, you were like, they're not getting any better than they were last season because they lost some guys and the roster changes like it normally will in the offseason. But I'm like, Giannis is going to keep getting better. He's got many years left in his prime. He has not reached his prime yet, and that's terrifying. So, I don't know who in the East gives me more confidence. Like, if you have to make a safe pick on somebody for a finals pick, I'm taking Giannis against the field. I don't care. Like, I don't care who they signed to replace Brogdon or anything like that. Like, they'll figure it out. They got a good coach, and they have the best player in the NBA.
Here's a counterpoint to that, Marcus, because you keep talking about like, oh, they haven't shown you anything in the playoffs. Last year, Philly, yes, they were a tough out. Absolutely. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Yes, they had like that. I'm sorry, the semifinals. You're right. I apologize. they had a game seven, the ugly bounce. But the player that was most apt to take the final shot and keep them in close playoff games now plays for the Miami Heat.
Yep.
And I don't see anybody else on that roster at this point who can fill that void. So there's not a real big reason to see them as a particular threat in the East, even come playoff time at this point.
That sounds really familiar. I was saying that this summer or something.
And but I look at it is, and good God, I hate that I have to defend Philly. But when the playoffs come around, I do, because you're making it seem like it's insane to suggest that Milwaukee is not going to trounce everyone. And I don't think that's insane. That. At the end of the day, Philly's trump card is Embiid. We can have Embiid defend Giannis. But you could never have Giannis defend Embiid. Their trump card.
Yeah,
and not only that, but they have...
He's done it before.
Oh, so we watched that same Christmas game and watched Giannis get swallowed up by Embiid.
Christmas game for anything.
Sure, but I'm... Okay, so
Milwaukee added a whole nother Lopez twin.
That is true. There are double Lopez's now.
Right,
but again, Robin is fun. And
at the end of the day, Milwaukee's best player... is the best player in the league. Nobody's disputing that. But Philly can say, all right, we're going to defend him with Embiid. We're going to defend him with Horford if we need to. We're going to go with Simmons if we need to. And he's still going to get his numbers, but that means he's got to work on D2. Is there anybody else on Milwaukee that has a prayer of defending? Probably not, right?
Is there anybody on Philly that's got a prayer of making fourth quarter shots and being the go-to guy? No.
Hey, pecan take alert. I think the team right now in the East that poses the biggest threat to Milwaukee in the playoffs plays in Miami-Dade County.
Yep. I would agree.
Right. And I did not think I'd be saying this when at the onset of the season. I was not a believer in Miami. I thought that they needed a couple of other pieces. But based upon the way they've been playing, based upon the way these players have gelled, based upon the development of players like Bam and things of that nature, I think that they pose a bigger threat to Milwaukee. I still don't think they'll beat Milwaukee four times.
I don't either.
I think they could take Milwaukee to six, conceivably.
Yeah.
Five is more likely, but I think that they're a bigger threat than, and even Philly, I think they could stretch it to six, maybe even seven games against Milwaukee if a couple things broke their way. But I don't see it. Like, they have the horses, but they don't have the jockeys.
Yeah, that's a good, I 100% agree. Like, the whole summer they're talking about, like, Philly has four or five All-Stars, and I'm like, look, I love Josh as much as any other Heat fan, but they're talking about him as their fourth quarter shooter, you know, out in the corner to kick out to. And I'm like, have y'all watched him? Like, he's decent shooter, but he's not the guy I'm like, okay, well, if we need a three in the fourth, find Josh. Like, that's not what it is. Nobody's saying that about Harris either. Like, I have zero idea where that fourth quarter scoring comes from, because they got Embiid out at the 3-point line because the guy that won't shoot has to sit under the basket the whole time. So, like, where does that come from? Like, Embiid's injury prone. You know, Simmons has had injuries. Jay Rich has had injuries. Like, I don't know if they'll get there healthy all the way. So, and their bench is a mess. Like, I really do not like that team. And I feel very good about my offseason prediction of them not being as good as everyone said, because they just don't have shooting. They need to make some kind of a deal for some sort of shooting.
I don't disagree with what you said. I don't like that team either. I don't like the way it's constructed at all. But I think that team was constructed with the postseason and Milwaukee specifically in mind. And I think when the postseason comes around and the pace slows up and it gets ugly, I think that team is built to counter Milwaukee in ways that Milwaukee cannot counter themselves, or cannot counter Philly, I should say. Sorry. And I don't know that that means that Philly is going to win, but I think it means that they have a better shot at it than most other teams do, because they're built in ways Milwaukee, I don't think Milwaukee is ready to anticipate, and I don't think any other team could. I just think in the playoffs, that's going to matter. Now, the fourth quarter scoring absolutely is going to matter as well. I think Philly has a move to make still, and I hope I'm wrong because I hate that team. But it's crazy to suggest that they could end up in the finals, because at the end of the day, an engaged Embiid is probably the only other player in the league that you could say is as good as Giannis, because he can do it on both ends too.
Here's the problem. You keep talking about
Kawhi Leonard doesn't exist right now.
What?
You guys keep mentioning Giannis as being the best player in the league when, I mean,
Kawhi and LeBron are very much alive.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, like,
right. Like, and Giannis on the MVP. Giannis. I mean, okay. We're splitting hairs at this point, but
he's about, you know, he's. That's,
okay. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I totally get what you're saying. I will say
there are only a few areas in the league that you forgot about, and Embiid is one of them.
Yeah, I will say this is more of a transitional point to another discussion. You know what shooter Philadelphia could really use that is actually been beneficial to his new team? Carmelo Anthony.
That would be the greatest thing. That would make me so happy.
Yeah. I would not to backtrack so too happy. Far. Not to backtrack too far, but even just a moment ago, before we get too far, and then we can leave Philly alone. Outside,
yeah,
of
I got one more thing on him. Yeah.
All right. But just now, you mentioned that Embiid is the one player that one of the few players in the league that we could put on. Yeah, I honestly would put him a tier beneath. Like, I think the top tier of the league right now is clearly Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi, KD. And then I think I almost want to put AD in that same breath, but AD has a similar problem that Embiid has in my book, in that he's off the court a whole lot. And so is Kawhi, but Kawhi doesn't play because he doesn't feel like playing, which is, I think, different than not playing because you can't stay on the court. And I think that matters a little bit. And the one thing that Embiid lacks that all of those other players do, to an extent, is the ability to create. Like I haven't seen anybody try to run an offense through Embiid yet.
Sure. Right. And the last thing on Philly. You keep saying like they're built to beat Milwaukee. They're built to beat Milwaukee. They got to get to Milwaukee first. Because right now they're sitting in the 5 seed. They don't have home court advantage in the first round. They play Toronto. Like, I don't know if they beat Toronto. Toronto's good. If they get healthy, they're missing like 3 of their top guys right now. And they're still ahead of Philly. Then in the second round, I mean, say they moved up to the 3, say they went on a run this season, the 3, then they're playing either Miami or Boston in the second round. Like, do they even get to Milwaukee? That's the thing. Like, building a team to beat one other team at the expense of all your shooting and glaring problems, like, that's not going to be sustainable playoff run. Like, maybe you're built to beat one team, but you're not built to make a run in the playoffs.
Okay. I don't want the point that some team outside of Milwaukee could be in the finals to be just dismissed like it's crazy because Milwaukee has not proven anything. And I said that last year, and I was right. And I this year, it does not mean that it's a crazy point to make. So I'm not going to hand them anything.
I don't think we were calling you crazy on that point. I still think they're the favorites, but I don't think it's crazy that someone could take them out. I just favor them a lot. That's all.
We will see. We will see when it comes. I hope you guys are right because Philly is the worst.
Yes.
Philly's one of the 3 worst in the East.
Philly is one of the worst, but yes. So that transition that I was making.
But the 3 worst in the East are definitely in the Atlantic Division, and it's not the Nets or the Raptors.
True.
How have we not mentioned the train wreck that is the Cavs? Like, this Kevin Love thing is fascinating to me. But, you know, a different time.
Yeah. All right, so we're running short on time. What we're going to do, we're going to go around this table one more time. Everybody get the last pecan take off the chest. And just in case we have to extinguish some flames, we're going to let Dan go first.
I'm going to say this. Carmelo Anthony has played himself into a contract for next season for some team.
Dan, you let Dan just burn the whole thing down right now before us? Like, come on. He should have been the cleanup hitter.
Oh, you know what? You're right. That was very short-sighted on my part.
I don't think that's that much of a pecan take. I think he's right.
I don't know, man. Because, like,
I'm sorry. I need to put a little bit more respect into his name. Western Conference Player of the Week, Carmelo Anthony, has played himself.
Double cero.
Okay. Hit us with a pecan take.
All right. No, give me some more time. I have to think of one because I haven't been watching basketball in 2020 because it doesn't exist. Come back to me.
Okay. All right. I'm ready then. I mean, it's not Dan's or anything, but, you know. We disagree on that one. Pecan take for me, the Heat sweep the dunk contest and shoot 3-point shootout. Airplane mode's taking the dunk contest. Duncan Robinson is winning the 3-point shootout.
Luca's going to have something right about to say too. About that 3-point shootout.
Duncan's a better shooter.
All right. Pecan take. We are going to see another big trade here. And as much as they dispute it, I think the Thunder still trade Chris Paul this season, even though they're fighting for the playoffs. I don't think they have any reason to make playoffs.
Oh,
did you guys hear that?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, we got you. We're processing.
Yeah, we're. Yeah.
I could see it.
Hey,
I don't know, I disagree, but hey, I don't feel that strongly about it either.
All right. Here's my pecan take. Is not all the way a pecan take, but it's in there. Spencer Dinwiddie is a top 10 guard in the Eastern Conference. I want to say top 5, but that just feels gratuitous. It does. Yeah. And he should still be considered as an all-star alternate for this year.
I think the coaches consider him one of the 10. I think he'll get some love there.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got for you.
Contact from someone from like, do you guys have contacts from teams other than your own, perhaps?
Fine.
I got one related to my own. Luka is shooting 33% from 3-point range this season on 9 attempts a game. Duncan Robinson is shooting 44% from 3-point range on 10 attempts a game. So, yeah, thank you.
All I know is Luka is murdering people on the court. It is we're assault. Talking 3-point battery. Shootout it is murder. Only. Most foul, as a literary shootout. Reference would say. Now, I don't know if you guys caught this, but the other day, Shaq Harrison was guarding Luka Doncic. And Shaq Harrison was like, you can't stop this. You can't stop this. And then Luka's just like 34, 34. And that was just how many points he had over three quarters. And I was just, this is not going to end well. And then they lost. And then the Bulls lost like they always do.
I know the like 80s, 90s era NBA had such like a reputation for everybody being like legendary trash talkers. And then like you had Gary Payton in the 90s and early 2000s and things of that nature and everything. MJ. But I think we have some really, really dope trash talkers that aren't getting their due. And I think we should bring that back. We should bring that back in the 2020s, hyping up these people like.
Jimmy's trying.
I was just about to give him his props on that one.
KD is too, honestly.
Yeah. Well, KD is trash talking on and off the court or Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that video of Draymond Green undressing Paul Pierce with that talk.
No, that was phenomenal.
One of my favorite
videos. Every time that video comes across my timeline, I watch it.
Yep, so, auto retweet.
That is phenomenal.
Auto retweet.
I feel like Draymond Green is who Kevin Garnett wished he was in terms of trash talk.
Hey, speaking of Kevin Garnett, though, I don't want to praise him too much, but he was fantastic in Uncut Gems. I'll say that much.
I'll have to take your word for it.
And this has been another episode of the Bee's Knees podcast.
Yeah, man. Where can they reach us at?
You can find us at Bee's Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, correct? Right?
Yes.
I don't have that. So, yeah.
And Bee's Podcast on Gmail?
Bee's Knees Podcast at
Bee's Knees Podcast at Gmail. Okay.
All right. There we go. Yeah. Until the next time, friends and family.
See you later.
Alligator.
Nope. Mm-mm, not doing that.
Just did it. After a while, crocodile. Now I'm pressing stop.